Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, February 21st, 2021. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. And if you're really into this thing, I need you to go over to Apple Podcasts and give this show a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it makes the ratings go up. More people listening to the show makes the show more popular. And then I become an entity bigger than Thanos. And wouldn't you guys want a benevolent Thanos, but a Thanos nonetheless that would use the Infinity Stones so people could have power in Texas and electricity? Power and electricity are basically the same thing, but you get what I'm saying. I didn't say I was going to be an Einstein. I said I would just help out and be benevolent and shit. Give me a fucking break. Why don't I just read some of the things that people that have reviewed the show, let's read what some people are saying. Okay, let's see. Here's one from, within the last week. Trying to get this guy a lady. 5 stars. I'm joking, kinda. This show is amazing. Chris is a great comedian and is funny and poignant in all of his appearances, and of course, including this show. Subscribe now. Wow, thanks, NPZ 1978. That was from last week. Very nice. Here's one. Smart and funny. 5 stars from Hershey's Jellyfish. What a cool guy. I love spending time with him on the pod. He's always so cool and earnest. I feel cooler when I listen. Well, thank you, Hershey's Jellyfish. I did not write that. Entertaining podcast. 5 stars from Nom Nom Name. Chris is a well-researched and incredibly guest-friendly host. I love hearing different aspects of the entertainment business. The guest host chemistry is evident in every single episode. It's a must listen for anyone interested in movies, television, and show business. Here's one more. Thank you, Nom Nom Name. Here's another one. So good. 5 stars from Darian Fox. Love this pod. It's like somebody wrapped up all my favorite things into one delightful package. Comedy, TV, and movies. Nerd stuff, social commentary, and black people stuff. Chris Lamberth is a treasure. Nothing mundane about this show. Thanks, Darian Fox. And why don't you be like Darian, Nom Nom Name, Hershey's Jellyfish, and NPZ 1978 and review the show. It makes it better. And also, if you're really into this, if you've not only said, I want to subscribe to this show, I want more, you can go over to Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/mundanefestival. $3 a month, bonus content. You get at least two bonus episodes a month. And there's little videos and snippets there. There's failed voiceover auditions where I thought that I gave these amazing performances and didn't fucking book the gig. And so that's there too. And I have some omelet fails there as well. Some, one that I did really well, and then another that just didn't work. I'm getting a new pan this week. It's supposed to, a new frying pan, supposed to come from Amazon pretty soon. So there you go. This is episode 487. I have a super special return guest that you know and love, Randolph Terrence from the Three Guys On podcast. And I'm going to share that conversation that I had with him with you in a bit. Right now, I'm just going to talk to you for a few minutes. I am sitting here. I'm going to level with you. I'm going to take you behind the scenes of the production of this podcast. I just got done talking to Randolph. It's not Sunday, it's Friday. But by the time you get this, it'll be Sunday, my birthday, my born on date, if you will. I will be 41 years old. Not fucking 40, but fucking 41. And that's a couple days away. I'll be happy to make it there. And yeah, it's been a rough year. Last year, Last year I had a birthday party and celebrated with some friends, close friends, and some pals, and we had a great time. And that was right before the lockdown and the quarantine and the virus hit, and I'm happy to still be here, cuz a lot of people are not here anymore. So I hope to continue to be here for as long as I can. I think that's really all I can say about that. Happy to be alive and kicking. And I think I'm on the cusp of probably going outside and cleaning off my car. And I'm going to do that and listen to some Phoebe Bridgers while I do it. I'm really into her. I was listening to her before I cut the microphone on, and the record I was telling you guys about last week, she's got a record called Funeral on her first album, and I think it's called Stranger in the Alps, and I can verify that because I am very factual with my podcasting. Stranger in the Alps is her first album from 2017. The third record on here is Funeral. And last week I was saying how it reminded me of this Rilo Kiley record called A Man. Oh, God. I'm on here. Where's the thingy here? A Man, Me, Then Jim. And it's if you listen to those, and I'm going to reiterate what I said last week. Listen to A Man, Me, Then Jim from Rilo Kiley from their More Adventurous album from 2004, and then listen to that Funeral record. Not to say that they're the exact same song, but it was just like a similar theme and about a friend dying and the song of like that's just kind of a that has melancholy and I don't know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about, but I'm saying that I didn't at the time that I said that last week, I was just like, oh yeah, it reminds me of this record. And I actually listened to both records back to back, and I was like, holy shit, I was right. I am pretty cool. I am pretty smart when it comes to some things like that. What else? I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do for my birthday. I was kind of thinking about, I would like to go into the city and go to my favorite pizza place, Emmett's, and get a deep dish pizza, like a small deep dish pizza, and enjoy that. But then the weather's kind of bad, so I don't know that I want to go over there, and I don't know if I want to get involved in a shit show of traffic or anything. So I may just go to Pizza Hut and try that Detroit style pizza that they have. And maybe I'll do that. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I looked up people doing the taste test on YouTube, and the consensus is it's pretty fucking good. So I think I might do that. So we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think I'm probably just going to clean my car off, listen to Phoebe Bridgers while I'm doing it, maybe play some video games, light a candle a little later on in the night and watch Nomadland with an adult beverage. I might do that and watch some other art house movies. But I want to get you to Randolph. Randolph and I were just hanging out talking yesterday. And I was like, dude, we should just do a pod. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. And so this just got done. This is basically, I mean, you will hear it in the future, but as I'm talking to you, Randolph and I just got done doing a podcast, and Randolph, as I'm talking, is probably on his way to Popeyes, because that's what we talk about at the end. But this is just kind of like a chilled, laid back conversation of us just kind of shooting the shit. And I hope you enjoy it. Me and Randolph Terrence shooting the shit. Ever since he told me to get this one, the Zoom, the Shure ones are like the industry standards and they're the sexy ones. But ever since he put me onto the Rode Pod mic, I'm like, these are actually aesthetically, they're sexier to me. I mean,
they do look good. They do look good on a video.
Yeah. But I bought the cover because I bought the windscreen just to, because there was one guy on YouTube that said just to get one for your plosives and everything.
That's funny. He talked me out of buying one. I was looking to buy one. He was like, "Hey, you don't need it."
You don't. I mean, he told Dominic to get this one, and I was like, you know what? I do like it. It's $100. The other ones are $300-$400. And you see people that have them, and it's like, and they don't look as good, but they all do this basically the same thing. It's just it's hidden fees tacked on to having that mic, because you have to get like a thing called like a cloud lifter that enhances the sound and all this stuff. And I'm already running this through the whatchamacallit, I got the audio interface.
Right.
So yeah, but it's good though. I like it a lot.
Right.
I like it. I
plug into. I use the mic I use for the podcast. I just plug it into. When we do a podcast, I plug my H4 in. So I just use the mic on that.
Yeah. Some people have that blue Yeti mic, and I'm just like, ew, I don't like it. Now I'm becoming like a snob.
Everybody's a podcast of Zoomcast snob now, particularly Zoomcast, because you can see people's equipment.
Yeah, I don't have shit in my background. Like Sean Donnelly used to have this joke when he's not married now, but before he got married, he's like, when I was a bachelor, I lived like an assassin. I didn't have any pictures on the wall. I just had like a go bag and that's it. Like, it's like, you know, like that's always like that bit of his.
Sean Donnelly got divorced?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't seem like they were married that long.
They weren't. I mean, you know, I don't think they were married a few years and seems like
that would not be that long.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not that long. But she's happy and he's happy. So according to Facebook, you know,
they got a kid.
They do not have a kid. No.
Well, then they're happy because they don't have to be around each other. That's what that means.
Yeah. Shit, man.
Yeah. That's what the fuck that means.
Yeah, dude. I had to
see your face, man. You got that black thought going on right now. That
I don't think I have the black thought.
Beer, man.
This is called puberty is finally setting in for me. I'm finally growing up.
That black thought, you've got the gray in it and everything.
Yeah, man, I'm growing up. I can play dads now.
Well, I was about to say, you better watch out. I'm gonna put you in the uncle role.
I don't care.
Yeah,
well, I'll be working as long as it's good. I don't care. Like, it would be nice if the part was good and the production was good, but I don't care about all that stuff. My manager said, "Oh, this shot makes you with your haircut close. It makes you look older." I'm like, so. Give me a part. I remember one time in grad school, one of my professors said, you know, Chris, you're gonna age well and you're gonna be able to do like all these different
roles. Did he pick up on that because you were black, Chris? Is that why he said that?
No, I don't think he said no.
Really, I am black. I think so.
I don't know. I mean,
he was lame and guessed as you were applying cocoa butter.
Yeah. I think he might have meant that, but he might have meant growing up, like I would mature, because I was thinking about when I got out of school, I was 25, and a lot of my competition were people that were in their 30s.
Yeah.
And old, like 30s and 40s. And I was like, why do you guys have me auditioning for these older roles? And I would always get beat out by dudes that were like 10 or 12 years older. Like a
10-year-old.
Huh?
But you probably look like a 10-year-old.
A little, maybe, but.
So I can only imagine just a little round-faced young boy.
Yeah, yeah.
How old is that?
Yeah. They would, because I would, they go up for parts. And then the people that would get it would be like, I'm 42. I'm like, God damn. I'm like, you know, but so I'm kind of in that range where I could do hey man, if when things get back to some kind of normalcy, I can do some August Wilson shit and have some fun.
Yeah, you can be the dad.
Do some August Wilson in Nebraska somewhere. do some regional theater. I would. That's always been the dream. But enough about me, man. Instead of having alcohol, I'm cracking open a Martinelli's apple juice.
Funny you have that Martinelli's. I just saw a I was an ad somewhere about Martinelli's. Somebody was talking about the how great Martinelli's was. I was like, I haven't had any Martinelli's in a while. I don't think we can get it down here.
Yes, you can. I'm sure you can.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I got this from Whole Foods, and yeah, I hate to say this on a black podcast, but
that kind of stuff.
No. I don't care about that. I was looking for this. You know that black girl that had lemonade?
But I don't know the name of her brand.
I'm glad that you don't know it and I don't remember.
Are they selling it in Whole Foods? I didn't think they were selling it.
Saw it at Whole Foods and I was like, that's that black girl's lemonade. And I tasted it. It was
not that good.
It's not that good. Unless you like, I guess, like a sour kind.
No.
I'm not into that.
No.
So maybe it's a taste thing.
Nah, well, who wants sour lemonade?
It's just not that, like, because you know, like
vegan lemonade.
I don't know, like, but they had a different flavor, and I think it's like this.
That's what I do. Anything that doesn't taste good, I just put vegan in front of it.
Oh, was
that
man.
Vegan pussy? What is that?
Oh shit! Yeah, I just didn't. I didn't like it. It wasn't like Simply Lemonade is good. But this one, and I was like, I'm glad that I don't remember that black girl's lemonade.
But you got to look at the fructose on the bottle, the fructose count.
What does that mean to the juice?
That's sugar.
Okay. Yeah.
Fructose is in that apple juice.
Yeah, Martinelli's is in California. I don't see why you guys wouldn't have it.
Do they have a nutrition thing on the label?
I don't see one.
That's not a good sign.
It says 100% juice, 1888.
It don't have a calorie breakdown on there? That's not a good sign.
No, it says pasteurized, 100% apple, juice from U.S. grown fresh apples, no concentrate, Martinelli's. And Co. Watsonville, California.
Yeah, they ain't even telling you what's in it other than juice.
It says fresh apples.
What the fuck is juice?
What the fuck is juice? Oh man. I took a snow day today recording this on a snow day, man. I needed it. I know I had President's Day off, but I was just like, I didn't even take my 40th birthday off.
Yeah. Last year. Well, that's that thing. Black folks, man, we never want to take any time off because we worried about getting fired. Like I made a slight error in something I was writing last night,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't worry about that shit all morning. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. Nobody's gonna come for me. You know?
Oh yeah, it's
yeah. You know, you know.
Yeah.
How do you think your job is going? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's not it's not one of those things that it's because I mean, if you're fucking up at your job, you know you're fucking up at your job constantly. And it's not the one, yeah, it's just you mess up something and then you get so wrapped up in it, you're like, these motherfuckers are gonna get me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think white people feel that at all. Like, oh,
no, I don't.
What did I do? You know,
you have a running loop of, oh my lord, lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You just like, I just need
as soon as because my the producer called me and I was like, oh shit. Something wasn't right, you know. Hmm. But I turned the work in like at 5 a.m. So I've been writing it for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Think about like that. I've been writing it for 2 hours and I turned it in at 5 a.m. Was this the idea that we talked about? I was like, oh, shit. It's like, yes. Was this not the idea as you saw it? Because this is what we talked about. Did you not see it this way? Well, I kind of wanted to. I'm like, well, the show starts in like 40 minutes. I can't
reframe
all this for you. I said, and you want it to be a certain length, and you want this, and you want me to put in that, and you know. Okay, well, we'll take care of it. I'm like, oh, my lawn, lawn.
Yeah, man, it's we've all been there. If you've worked somewhere long enough, or you've just been in the workforce, you know, it's always a thing. And I was listening to, you know, when Leanne was on Three Guys On a week or two ago, and she was talking about her dad, like, not taking the time off. I was like, yep, that's my black dad too.
Yep, mine. Well, you know, it's funny. Mine was in the military. When he was in the military, you get weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
Just you have to.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's a choice. They give you your vacation. You know, I think it's right. Like the standard, like 2 weeks a year.
Yeah.
I remember once when we were in Germany, he took a whole month off, and we got one of those little VW Vanagons.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove all over Europe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the whole family. We just drove around Europe. And because in the military, but when he got out of the military and he went to work for Pardons and Paroles, them times off, you didn't see a lot of that anymore. And he was in charge.
Yeah.
He was in charge of Pardons and Paroles for all of South Texas. And nope. Nope.
Yeah. We would, my dad and my mom too, only like to go to North Carolina to Christmas, right. Thanksgiving, never really.
Right.
Never really took any time off. And there was a lady, her birthday is the day before mine at work. She took Thursday and Friday off. I was like, damn, I should have did Friday and Monday. Just like, you know, but last year I know I didn't do it because I knew I was going to be off a bunch. So I didn't want to, like, the last 3 to 4 years, I kind of just held on to my day.
You have time now because you don't know when you're going to have to go audition.
Yeah. They've been doing it virtually now, like either like you send in this, they call it eco casting,
right?
Where
right.
you make your tape and then you send it to them, and or then they'll, or one last week I did one like with the casting director on like kind of like on Zoom, but not Zoom, you know, and so that's been cool.
How does a casting director, you know, get a feel for somebody? Like, I imagine it's in characters, there's the way the character walks, how the character moves, you know, does this person move like the way I think the character would move? Or maybe this person moves in a way that the character makes me think of something completely different. It's inspired me in a whole another direction. So how do they do that on video cast?
I think they
you're a big guy, right?
Yeah.
I'm a skinny guy, but on video, you know, we don't.
Well, but you stand up like they. You can stand up.
They do that. They make you turn around. Bring another person next to you for contrast.
Yeah, they'll do like a slate. They'll do it. They'll make you like you do the scene, and then you do a slate where you say Chris Lambert, 6'2", New York local hire, and you're like you get a full body shot,
right?
And you do that, right. and they'll if they like you.
I have a gigantic head. So
they can tell.
You see it in person, you're like, oh my God, this guy's head is gigantic. Wait a minute.
My head.
I thought it was just the video, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, they know.
Yeah, you know.
I think they try to get a performance out of you. You know, they make you, if they make you do it more than like one or two times, then they're trying to get something out of you.
Right.
Like they like you. They want to see, you know, to pass it on to the producers and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it just depends.
People are lying on the stats. That's I'd be interested in. Like fucking Tinder. People are lying.
Oh no, yeah, they
show up to the thing and you 5'4". Wait a minute.
Oh yeah, they know. Like if they've seen you in other things or, you know, like other films or TV shows or
to me casting. That would be the thing if I'm a casting director and I got a relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
I'm about to get a lot of work because of this pandemic. Because I only had to think about it. I'm like, oh, I know I got somebody for you, you know.
Yeah, yeah. If they like you, they'll try to get you on the show. That if it doesn't work for one part, they'll try to get you on something else, or you know, like it was funny, like how it was cool with Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. That was the first SAG, like big show that I got. and I ended up getting cut. And
hey, isn't the pillow guy's girlfriend in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt? Is she in that?
She is. She is in that. I never got to work with her.
Was that disappointing to you when you heard about her?
A little bit.
Saying Kimmy Schmidt made me think about that. That was, you know, I mean,
I like her a lot.
Quiet as kept. She's a light white star that I'm into. Although she doesn't have any upper lip. That kind of bothers me. But quiet as kept. She's one of those white stars. I'm like, hmm.
No, she's dope. I'm trying to get her. Damn, you'd think I know her name. She was in 30 Rock, too.
Jane Krakowski.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's Jane Krakowski. Yeah, she's good. Like,
she was right on the tip of my tongue, wasn't it?
I didn't get to work with her. So I didn't get, I got cut from there. Then they tried to get me on another show, but then they had me audition for the final season a bunch of times, and they found something that worked, and I got to work on there, and I'm in.
Titus is in your role.
Titus is in my role?
Yeah.
No, he's gay and he can sing his ass off.
Yeah, he's funny too.
He's funny too. I can carry a tune, but that motherfucker can. Yeah. He's really good.
Yeah.
He's super talented.
Been anything other than that?
He's been in some other things, but he's been in some stuff.
I'm sure. I've just never seen him in anything.
Yeah.
I've got a deep theater background.
Yeah,
singing like that, I could see.
Yeah, he's a
hello. Beast. You know, that kind of.
Yeah.
Billy like Porter style.
Yeah, that show had all those like jokes embedded in jokes on top of jokes, and
right.
Yeah, but it's been going pretty good auditioning for stuff. But got to get some to count. Got to get some more money coming in. Got to get a PlayStation 5.
No, you don't need a PlayStation 5. Solve it.
I'm sitting here thinking about
Xbox One again. I'm like, I should go play.
I just bought Madden in
boxing, so I gotta.
Which one are you playing? Which boxing game?
Fight Night. One of the later Fight Nights. It's like Fight Night something. I found it on EA Sports.
And you downloaded it?
I downloaded it, yeah. And I used to love Fight Night. So I've rediscovered Fight Night.
Tick, can you refresh my memory on the best day in your life besides the day you
best
got married?
Day in my life.
And when your daughter was born.
Yeah, I got married the day my daughter was born. Best day in my life. The early PlayStation, the one with the disc, or remember the one with
the gray one?
Gray one. I had that PlayStation. My apartment in Austin, my shitty little efficiency apartment in Austin. One Saturday, I had the door open because it was the kind of apartment where the front door opened literally right out onto the landing.
Yeah,
front door open. The sun was shining. I drank E&J brandy and Coke and played Fight Night all afternoon. It was the best. When at that time, my wife, then girlfriend, now wife, had moved to Dallas, and I wasn't going up to Dallas to see her that weekend. I stayed home that week because I had a gig that night, and I played Fight Night all afternoon.
Best. Oh, you drank before your show like that?
Yeah, it was a mistake, but I was playing Fight Night. That's why.
Oh my God!
Played all afternoon. I started playing like at 11:30, and I played all afternoon. I would stop and get something to eat, and I would just come back and play. I beat the game.
Oh my God! Like I could, and you didn't get sleepy?
No. But I wasn't good at the show. I wasn't sharp for that show.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like I had a weird thing where I don't like to eat before shows, and I don't like to drink. I don't really drink like that, but I would just imagine. My thing is, like, I don't like the feeling of having to shit while you're doing a show.
Oh, I know. But, you know, there's that performance thing that
your
body locks itself up, basically, and takes care of that, you know, what I mean? while you're working. That's what they say. You probably know more about it than I do.
I don't know, man. You got to do a show that's like 2 or 3 hours, and you just gotta be focused on everything. Yeah. I just do not want to be impaired. But
when I do a two show night, I don't eat before the first show. I eat in between shows.
Yeah, yeah.
And I usually don't have a drink on the first show. I'll have one drink when I take it with me on stage on the second show.
Yeah. When I was working, when I would work at Levity, yeah, it would be the second show.
Right.
After I get off, if I was featuring, it would just be after I got off. And then if I was hosting, it would be after the headliner got up.
Right.
On stage for the second show.
Right. That was my, that's when I hosted, I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't drink until after the second show, after the headliner was on.
Yeah. Cause you never know. Cause even though, even when I would have be ready to do something, it's just always this anxiety. It's like the, when the now, you know, like then now, blah, blah, blah. And then you got to go up there and make something out of nothing, especially when you're a host. Like you just have to kind of like figure that shit out.
Right, right, right. Yeah, and when it was, yeah, really when I was hosting, a lot of the midnight show, it was a fucking free-for-all. I would drink like...
Midnight show? So would that be a three-show night?
That was the show where, I think I've told you that story before, in San Antonio, when I first started, they did this Midnight Madness show after the second show. It started at 12:30.
Oh.
At the comedy club. It was a free show. Local comedians would go up, and you had to host that show, get good at hosting that show, and then you would get to host a week. Sound familiar?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
you had to get good at hosting that show. And I hosted that show, me and this other cat, Chris Mata, we would trade back and forth. We hosted that show pretty much for 6 months before I got my first opening spot. So the first few times I hosted it, because it was a long haul. You're hosting a whole show. It's like, you know, from 13, 15 comics. You know, you got to keep things going. Do your opening set and then keep things going. I wouldn't drink before my opening set. And then I would maybe have a drink kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
Towards the end, I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'll be up there with it.
Yeah.
I saw Marsha Warfield on stage, an old set of our Marsha Warfields on stage with a drink in her hand. I just liked the way it looked.
Yeah.
She had the small glass with brown liquor in it. And I liked the way it looked aesthetically. And I was like, I'm going to do that. You know.
I want to be cool.
Now you can't just stand there holding a fucking.
Hey guys,
got a drink out of it. Yeah, got a drink out of it.
No, because you told me, because a couple weeks ago, I told you this. I watched that Malcolm and Marie, and I had a what did I? Jameson and Krabby's alcoholic ginger beer. That shit put me on my ass.
Yeah,
I was feeling nice.
Yeah, I made that mistake the other night. I had a Jameson and I had a Krabby's and rye and rye bourbon. And
man,
you know, I laid down to sleep. I had around 8, laid down at night, and then got back up at midnight. I was still like,
yeah, yeah.
I was like, well, that was a mistake. I won't do that shit again.
Yeah, I had two of those ginger beers.
Two?
Yeah, mixed them with.
Two.
Yeah.
See, that's that weight. I couldn't do two, man.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
You got weight. You got that weight on you.
I'm a big guy, but
I can't do that.
Also, that's
shit.
I think I overdid it then.
Shit. One knocks me down. One will put me on Sundays. Back when I used to watch football, I would just go to sleep on Sunday afternoon. I would drink.
Do you eat before though?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll eat with it because ginger beer is good to like while you're eating a sandwich or something like that. Like eating a sandwich or eating something. I've discovered it kind of goes good with barbecue beef.
Okay.
And it's good while you're eating a sandwich or just eating some ribs, something like that. It's real good for that. You know?
Oh,
put that bourbon in it.
Shoot. I ate before. And then I was just like sipping and watching the movie.
Yeah.
I like to get, because I'm into candles now, and I like lighting a candle and having an alcoholic beverage and watching a movie.
I used to do that when I was single.
Particularly an art house movie.
I used to do that when I was single. I had my bedroom. I had all my candles in my bedroom all over.
Yeah. I do mine in the living room.
Well, I had roommates, so I couldn't.
We
couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
So your bedroom was like your sanctuary when you have roommates.
Yeah.
You know.
It was good. I gotta figure, but I don't want to become like an alcoholic. I went to
that's a good plan.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. And
you go talk to Petey.
Oh yeah, Petey will have to count. Yeah, I just because I went in, I got my taxes done, and the next to, huh?
Did you owe anything?
No, just like not that much. Just like I got more back than I thought I was going to get, and
I'm afraid we're going to owe. I've seen this coming.
I'm not balling like you guys.
It's not about balling, man. It's that fucking furlough money and
yeah.
No, I don't know about the taxes on that. All kind of man's where I'm like, we about to get fucked.
I get taxed on. I make sure they just take it out, and then it, you know, I get the W-2s and the returns and all that.
No, you kept working the whole
time. I didn't. No, in my day job, I got it taken because I like to get it taken care of in February, so I don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. And next to the H&R Block, there's a liquor store, and I just wanted to get some ginger ale, but they didn't have any in the refrigerator. I just asked the guy, he went in the back and got me some. And then they had these, you know, those Austin East ciders, that cider, mm-hmm. They had some of that, and they had like this, the sangria kind. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I've never had this before. I'm like a fucking divorced, like a housewife or some shit. I was like, I've never tried this. I'm going to get some. So I haven't tried it yet, but yeah.
We talk about how perfect it is to put a liquor store next to an H&R Block.
Like, that is pretty. Yeah.
All you need next to that is a gun store.
Oh my God.
And get the cheap bottle of bourbon, go on the other one and get the pistol.
It is on the other. It's not the bad side of town, but it's more of the industrial area part of town. But no, I've been going to that, my late tax lady, for like 10 years.
Yeah.
10 or 11 years. And she actually came to see me do stand up like in 2019. And she's like, oh my, yeah. She came to my, I did this bar show in fucking, I forget this town where I did, Morristown.
Yeah.
It's like a half an hour from
New Jersey. I know where it is.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I probably did a gig there. It's because that name is really sticking in my head. So I must have did a gig there when I was living in New York.
Yeah, they called it. I remember doing a show there one time. And I was like, all right, Morristown. And they were like, Motown. I was like, no.
No.
This isn't. This isn't. And I shitted on them for that. No. And I had fun with them for a good 3 minutes on that.
You can't put Mo in front of your name unless you're Detroit.
Yeah.
Or Mo County.
Exactly. But other than that, I was like, no.
The demographics don't work.
Yeah, like, that doesn't work. But she came to one of those shows and she was like, oh my God, I didn't know you were like her partner, her boyfriend.
Yeah. Going for the apple juice.
I know. Yeah, this is pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Hannibal Buress used to have a joke about Martinelli's. Yeah.
He strikes me as a dude. Have you ever heard I know Faison was cracking on Hannibal on the hated Vlad.
Interview. Oh yeah, where you just talk shit about people. That he just because Hannibal they think Hannibal outed Bill Cosby. He said some shit that most people in the community already knew. He said
some shit that they already knew.
And then white people like Hannibal, but Hannibal is.
Do here's an honest question that probably should be asked: did white people start liking Hannibal? I don't think so. But did white people start liking Hannibal after he was the linchpin of bringing down Bill Cosby?
No, no.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think so.
No.
But there is a contingent of people that like that. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, yeah. No,
you're just coming in here to rough up black folks. Now that's not Hannibal. That's not Hannibal at all. You know.
No.
But
if anything,
perceptions. You know?
If anything, like in a lot of black comics, especially in New York, from my perspective, a lot of black comics in New York will say that Hannibal looked out for a lot of black comics.
No, that's what I say. That's why I say that's not Hannibal.
Yeah, because I got on his show, and I got on a, I think I might've got my first Montreal audition indirectly because of him.
Right.
Because he was like, do my show, come to the Knit and do my show. And every time, like, if I was opening for Chris Hardwick somewhere, I'd be like, hey, I'm doing a theater for the first time. Can I get on? And he'd be like, yeah, come do my show. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, he was one of the, I love Hannibal for that. You know, he doesn't follow me on Twitter anymore, but he knows that I love him.
What you do, man?
I think I probably tweeted about Pretty Little Liars too much, but
to get rid of you.
Yeah,
but The Last of Us.
No, I think it was before
the movie adaptation that's coming.
The is HBO,
the cast living up to what you have in your head.
The HBO miniseries. It's actually going to be a limited series, I guess, but. It looks good. I mean, I haven't seen Game of Thrones, so you know about, or Narcos, but Pedro Pascal is a great actor.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that he's a person of color.
Well, it's funny is he pulled off The Mandalorian without being able to see his face.
Yeah.
He made you feel the empathies in his voice.
Yeah.
Being able to see his face.
And The Mandalorian's the same type of show. It's the Mandalorian's an escort mission. Yep. And that's basically what The Last of Us is.
Is that the role he's playing in this also?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure he'll be fine. Be
his go-to role, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
I like him. I think he's a good actor.
Yeah.
He's a really good actor. They're trying to Gina Carano was trying to put him in the if people try to put him in the Gina Carano mix, I'm like, "Nah, she's a piece of shit. Don't try to put him into it."
He was trying to help her.
He was like,
John Favreau was trying to help her.
He ain't really trying to help her.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I'm not going to let you stop this shit. Okay.
When John Favreau was trying to help her too, until she said something about Jews, and he was like, I'm done. He's like, all right. They can't help themselves, man.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, dog. I think I told you it's that MMA CrossFit world.
Yeah.
Those motherfuckers, man. I'm telling you. Watch out for them motherfuckers, dog.
It's a different monster, and people are. I don't know. It's like it's almost like it's a cult. Very much though,
and they I like how they put down shitty behavior as conservatism. You know what I mean? Like they're canceling conservatives. I'm like, she's shitty. Yeah. Shit behavior conservatism. I mean, I guess if you're Ted Cruz, yes. Yes.
Well, yeah, he's getting dunked on left and right. He should be. I don't know what more you can do if it looks like a duck, it talks like a duck, it swims like one, it's a duck. And we've been seeing this duck behavior. At least it's been put on the Summer Jam screen since 2015, 2016.
Right.
You know, so yeah. It's not
my cousin fucking 4 days no power in Houston.
You know, damn.
My and that's in Houston. They hit hard.
Yeah.
Where Ted Cruz lives. See, he was good that first night. He had power the first couple nights. Then the third night, he didn't have any power. So he went. I don't even think he went 2 days before he was like, we got to get out of here. Like, they left the dog, man.
Oh, they left the dog?
Snowflake. And somebody got a picture of the dog just looking through the window.
Damn.
Little white poodle, Snowflake. Cold. They left the dog. I'm like, you dirty motherfuckers.
But Michael Vick went to jail.
There's no kennel they could put the dog in. So they just left the dog. It'd be all right.
Damn.
Dirty motherfucker.
So did they get the dog out? He came back though, right?
He came back. Yeah. He came back. The dog was there alone maybe a day.
Damn.
Yeah. You dirty.
That's dirty. Fucked up, man. More people find out about that dog, it's over for him.
Yeah, dirty.
That's some shit.
And then his wife got dimed out by her little group chat. I'm like, them bitches don't like nobody in the group chat.
Damn, man.
These are people who are like, the group chat is sacred. I'm like, you motherfuckers are ignorant.
The group chat,
group chat is sacred.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, some people are getting some funny jokes off. They're hilarious, but I'm not sure what more you can really do. You know, just like he left. They were pulling up a tweet that, I mean, to him.
Oh, due to him?
Except not vote for him.
Nothing. Just vote him out. That's all. Vote him out.
But isn't that who they chose? I mean, yeah. You know.
And they're going to choose him again.
Yeah.
And don't get it twisted. They're going to choose him. What's wrong? Can I get my shoes? Yeah, go ahead. They're going to choose him again. And hold on a second, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Did you eat lunch? Eat lunch. Well, what are you doing?
Randolph's being a black father.
You got to take your butt back to your school, back to class. Hurry up.
It's a rare condition this day and age.
My hair asked me if she can get an ice cream sandwich. Did you eat lunch? I don't. Like, this ain't lunch time. What are you talking about? So she just left her class to go get an ice cream sandwich.
Damn. Well,
that's why I need to be home. That's why.
Being home has been like, so helpful. What did y'all say about the Revolutionary War? Like eating an ice cream sandwich. I bet maybe she saw some other kid eating one.
Yeah. And being home has been very helpful. Anyway, about Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to vote for him again. But Texas is so gerrymandered, voter suppression and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is partly, I always say, you know, that's partly Democrats' fault, right? For allowing this to happen.
Just acquiescing to everything and not really.
Not even that. Not voting in midterms.
Yeah.
Not voting in midterms. They don't vote in midterms. These motherfuckers get in and start passing all these little draconian laws to lock you out from voting, and now you're stuck. We should have voted in the midterms in the first place.
Yeah.
You should seriously and vote in people who represent your interests. Now you're locked out of the process. You know, we got to stand in line for 5-6 hours. And by the way, I'm not faulting any particularly black people. We're goddamn superheroes the way we vote.
Yeah.
The shit we have to endure. We're metahumans. The shit we have to endure. We endure shit that no one else has to vote in this country. And it's just everybody's okay with it.
I'm hoping the last two
allies, our liberal allies who don't get up off their ass and go vote, they don't vote in the midterms, are the problem.
I'm hoping the last two general elections will drive home that we need to vote all the time.
I'm not trustworthy of any of them anymore.
Oh, no, I'm not either.
So I don't believe in any. I don't believe in any of them, you know, because they'll say it and then they won't do it.
Yeah, it's a lot of
blame us.
Yeah, they always find a way to blame us. And it's just like I knew that Trump was going to get acquitted. It's just
we all knew that. But that's not the point of why you do it.
No,
you know, we knew he was going to get acquitted. So you just want it to be on record, you know, no matter what, it's on record through the rest of history. There have been 4 impeachment trials in the history of this country. Donald Trump is 2 of them.
That's crazy, man. Yeah. It's wild. I mean, he should. It's
he's betting 500. That's Hall of Fame numbers.
He's Hall of Fame numbers, man. That's easy. move over, John Olerud.
That's Hall of Fame number. You know?
Yeah. What do you think about the people's reaction to Rush Limbaugh's death?
The same reaction I had. Fuck that dude. He's a moral monster. I don't feel sorry if a moral monster dies. Why would I? The guy's a piece of shit. I don't feel sorry that he's gone. If you want to make jokes about it, fucking come. Like, yeah, good. Of course you do.
I have a thing with death and all that, but like, I just.
That's because you believe in the karma of it. If I make fun of this person, then something bad's going to happen to me.
Kind of.
Yes. Everybody believes that. Like, where'd that start?
It's because of slavery.
So let me get this straight. You don't think the karma gods know what's inside your head? They just wait for you to say it out loud, and then when you say it out loud, then they come and get you.
No, yeah, I just don't think I'm that. I just don't think I'm that type of person to have. Not like I'm, and it's not to make me any better than anybody, but it's just like, ugh, you know. I
don't think there's anything wrong with expressing exactly how you feel about something or someone. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh yeah, I kind of feel nothing.
That is a perfectly valid response. I personally think the guy was happy that he died. I know people who were like, yay. And I'm like, I don't feel that.
Yeah, that's.
But I don't feel like, oh no, don't say anything wrong. Yeah, fuck that. Yeah. We'll talk shit about him. Talk shit about him. Fuck that dude, man. He was, that guy was a grade A piece of shit.
Like he hated us.
He hated us. He hated gays. He hated women. That guy is a grade A piece of shit. So why the fuck would I care that the motherfucker's dead? I don't give a shit. I don't, you know, people are like, you shouldn't talk bad about the dead. Well, why? Why shouldn't I? He's not a good person.
Yeah.
As the God Baldwin says, he's a moral monster. Mm-hmm. So fuck him. Fuck him.
And the people lauding him.
And fuck them too. Mm-hmm. Fuck them too.
Yeah.
You know, they can kiss D's for real. Fuck them dudes.
Yeah.
Fuck them. You know, fuck you, man. You know, oh, he's good on the radio. Really? That's not, again, it's just a tick. Just the moral failings of him are just a tick. Just a tick. Just mm-hmm. a little something. Just, it's nothing to be concerned with. He's funny, is he?
Yeah.
I listened to it, but I mean, I didn't listen to it. I just listened to it for the humor. No, you listened to it because you liked the shit he was saying.
Right.
You know, I don't find humor in stuff that I don't like, or I don't find aesthetic value in stuff that I don't like. Mm-hmm. You know, and if it is something that I know I don't like and I'm looking for aesthetic value in it, I'll watch it maybe once.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck this. Like, the content would drive. Why didn't the content drive you away? What does that say about you that the content of what this coming out of this man's mouth didn't drive you away? When the content that will come out of Louis Farrakhan's mouth, you'd be up in arms and vehement about that.
Yeah.
And Louis Farrakhan is a far more engaging speaker than Rush Limbaugh was.
It's just that Farrakhan just
goes to... Not fucking Farrakhan either, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Content, but. Like, they just go to a place like, yeah, man, we should be... Oh, no. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you'll condemn us if we do like a Farrakhan.
Right.
You know. And like I said, he actually did stuff.
Who did what's my man's name that Obama had to renounce?
Jeremiah Wright. Again, yeah. Far more compelling speaker.
Yeah.
Also a far more complicated person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, far more complicated person than Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh was just a hateful human being who weaponized his, monetized his hate. Not weapon. Mm-hmm. I guess you could say he weaponized it.
Both weaponized.
Definitely monetized hate. You know, fuck that dude.
He was a voice of those people that raided the Capitol.
Yeah, yeah. And these people, any of these people who were looking for ways to laud him or stuff like that, I'm like, fuck you too.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you too. Why didn't the content of what he was talking about drive you away? Because there's something wrong with you. Awesome.
Part of me wants to know the enemy a little bit, but then there's only so much that I can stomach. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like, I was talking about it on the show last week. I said, you know, I don't need to have discourse or debate with people mm-hmm. who hate me.
Right.
Because you don't get anything out of it. You might get some sound bites but it's just like, I just choose not to fuck with them.
Yeah, and I wonder about that. Know your enemy thing. I don't know if I believe in that much anymore, unless I'm literally going to war with somebody.
Yeah.
I'm not prepared. And if I'm righteous and I've done my own personal study, mm-hmm. then I don't need to prepare to go to war with you. You know what I mean? Verbally. I don't need to.
Yeah.
Because chances are the things you're saying, if you're on that side of things you're saying, they're not true. So you really can't break through that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I don't know if I agree with that thing about, oh, you got to listen to them so you know your enemy, you know what your enemy's talking about. I don't need to know what my enemy is lying constantly. So what do I gain from that?
That's true. That makes
sense. How are you going to confront it? I'm like, it's not hard to confront something if you've done your own personal. Even if you haven't studied the subject that somebody's talking about, like take the where they say that through scientific theory that black people are just genetically predisposed to be less intelligent than whites. There are people who legitimately believe that. Like, well, that's not true. So what amount of studying this person's argument are you going to do to break through that? How do you beat that? You don't. There's nothing you can say. And furthermore, I shouldn't have to defend my intelligence. I'm not going to defend my intelligence. That would make me ignorant. It reminds me of Deep Cover when the guy asks Lawrence Fishburne, what's the difference between a black man and a nigger? Which, by the way, is an ignorant thing to say, but what's the difference between the niggers and one of them answer that question? You know, that little white guy. Do you remember Deep Cover?
It's been a minute, but
That was like the first question he asked the people he was trying to get them to go undercover. Mm-hmm. Dude, this black man and a nigger. Like one dude yoked him up, one cop picked him up off out of the chair, and then another cop just kind of shuffled around. Lawrence Fishburne just looked at him and said, the niggas are the one that would answer that question. Mm-hmm. Which is ignorant, I understand what they were trying to say in that. You know what I mean? I don't think I wouldn't really like that, but I understand what they were trying to say.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
I'm not going to sit across from you and defend my humanity. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen to you disparage my humanity just so I can come up with an argument against you. That's stupid.
Yeah, it's like fuck you, dude.
Yeah, that's my answer. Fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck you, bro.
Keep on. I'm gonna backhand you.
Yeah.
Keep on talking shit. Keep on talking shit.
And when you think about it, they really don't want war anyway.
No. They don't want smoke. No one really wants smoke. They say they do. They don't.
Yeah.
That's why these motherfuckers go after Democrats, but they don't go after Republicans. So-called progressives. You got all the smoke for Democrats. You ain't got no smoke for Republicans. Ain't that weird? Mm-hmm.
They don't want that heat because they know it's a little too hot. What did you think of Judas and the Black Messiah? I know we talked about it a little bit off mic, but how did you feel about, what'd you think about that movie?
Judas and the Black Messiah?
Yeah.
Oh, well, first of all, I loved it. Of course. Uh-huh. I mean, it was tough to watch because you know the ending. Uh-huh. And it was also tough to watch because the acting was so good. Particularly, everybody's putting it on Lakeith, but man, Daniel Kaluuya as Hampton, he just had you so mesmerizing, so enthralling. I mean, yeah, Lakeith is. There was a lot of emotional content there, but it seemed very one note. Like you know what's wrong. You know what, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And he's stuck, you know, but he allowed himself to be stuck.
Right.
You know, also not to mention the acting from the girl who played, you know, Hampton's lady.
Dominique Fishback.
Dominique Fishman. Just with the look on her face. Like when he was killed and she's standing there and just the camera's on her face and you see them shooting him over her shoulder.
You know? Yeah.
And she didn't even like look back, or they all knew what was going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought the movie was terrific. I think it's this generation's Malcolm X, but it's a little bit of like, it's got the crime drama element. It's got like the Deep Cover, Serpico vibe, Departed type. All of that stuff wrapped into this biopic, this that was a short. It wasn't what we're used to, like the long sprawling birth from birth to death biopic. It was just a fraction of time. And they really knocked it out of the park. I mean,
I thought so, too. I thought the way that just the electricity that Kalu brought to the screen. Where else have we seen that? Chadwick? I mean, yes.
Yeah.
That electricity, that power. That's the thing that's kept Idris Elba in the game for so long. Because I don't know what to do with Idris Elba. I was talking about this with somebody the other day. But it's his electricity that brings him. You can't deny it.
Well, the BBC knew what to do with him.
Oh, yeah. They gave it to him. And he,
yeah,
you know, or even in the show in Baltimore, the first stringer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That he gave off his stringer. You know, there's something about that, you know. For Lakeith's character, I mean, like, at some part, I feel like they're trying to manipulate us a little bit. Like, you want me to feel bad for this dude.
And I think that's just a testament to his performance. I always thought Lakeith was a very good actor when I saw him in Short Term
12. Is it Lakeith or Lakeith? Or are we just blacking his name up?
No, I say Lakeith. It's Lakeith.
I say Lakeith.
Oh, no. Well, it's like our buddy. Our buddy from Connecticut, Keith.
Yeah, I don't know what's up. I call him Keith.
Yeah, and in the hood, we call him Keith. You know, the Keith.
Keith.
With the T, Keith. But he's been good for a long time, and this performance was just, you know, I mean, he knows he was fucked up. He knew he was fucked up. And you look at those interviews, that was him lying to himself.
Oh, yeah.
Because he ultimately...
He popped himself after that last interview.
Well, he ran into traffic.
Yeah, the day the movie... The
Eyes on the Prize, yeah.
Out, you know, he also... Because there's no... You about to be a pariah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
And you've been carrying this around all these years. And you know... You know you a shitty motherfucker.
It's a compelling performance, even though he's a bad guy. You know, like it's because I heard comparisons to the assassination of Jesse James.
Yeah, you were telling me that. I never watched it.
It's a good movie. It's just
I like Brad Pitt a lot. I never really.
Yeah, and it's like Casey Affleck was the bad guy.
Yeah,
you know he was Robert Ford, but you know it was just like. It was a fresh take, a fresh and nuanced take on the biopic and what we know as a crime drama. I think from moment one, when you get that shot of him walking into the club, it was just like of Lakeith, his character walking in. Lakeith. It was just, yeah. I'm saying it right, man. I'm
not saying I know you are. So am I, though. But I'm saying it right, too.
Oh, my God.
I'm saying it right, too. Don't deny this blackness.
Yeah, I'm not denying it. I'm just saying, you know, the brother had a name that his mama and daddy gave him.
Lakeith.
Yeah, yeah. But it was I want to watch it again, but I kind of like.
I don't want to watch it again. No, I don't want to watch it again. There's a lot of movies like that. Like I watch it one time, I'm like this is fantastic.
Yeah,
I loved it. It's in my mind. I don't need to watch it again.
That second speech that
12 Years a Slave. I ain't trying to watch 12 Years a Slave again.
I watched it again. Yeah,
you're a better man than me.
Yeah, that was
watch Magneto raping people.
I used to
do it. I know you did. That was a good joke.
Yeah, like if you want to hear Magneto call people
early jokes, that was a good joke.
Yeah, that these niggers are humans. man, that you know, it's going to be hard to rewatch, but I want to watch it again before.
I might want to think about watching it on a technical level, just to appreciate the acting in it. Also to appreciate the writing. I heard the Lucas Brothers on Larry Wilmore's podcast.
Yeah, I watched. I listened to it.
When they were talking, because everybody puts it off to, you know, Bill was 17 when he got pinched.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens over a couple of years. So by the time Fred goes, he's in his 20s, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's 20. 21.
So like, well, he was young and he was a kid, but I'm like, Fred was maybe 2 years older than him.
Yeah,
at most. And Fred was ready to do time.
Yeah.
Fred was just like, I'm doing time. This is just what's going to happen. I'm going to do these years. This dude was like, I'll sell out these motherfuckers. Because it's not just Fred you're taking down.
Taking down everybody. The movement.
Whole organization. It's the children that were being helped by it. It's the community that was being helped by it. It's the other groups that Fred had mobilized and brought together. It's the Latino groups. It's the poor white groups. You're taking on all that, you know.
Dude, I didn't realize he had his hand in all of that. Hampton did, because I didn't know much about him.
That I knew, but I think I told you, Reese is a huge Fred Hampton. Even way before this, his avatar.
His avatar was Fred. Yeah.
Way before this, he's a big Fred Hampton guy. And then I heard about Fred in Block Party, watching Block Party because. Fred Hampton Jr. is in Block Party. Most Def brings him on stage. And watching that, hearing the story just in Block Party, just a quick little snippet of the story that Most Def told. You know, he was shot that's his son.
Yeah, Fred Hampton.
Just that made me want to, it's like, oh, and then an anniversary of it came up and Reese wanted to do it on the show. So I had to do a little bit of a deep dive into Hampton. And that gift of his was being able to unite.
And it's just like that Patrice O'Neill joke where, like, when you try to bring people together,
right,
that's when they get you. Yep. Yeah. He said,
are you going to watch that Patrice special?
Of course I am.
Are you going to watch it? I'm not.
It's on my DVR. It'll be on my DVR. Why? Because it's all mainly white people.
They said this thing about it was the commercial was like, what will Patrice think of 2020? Right. And I'm like, I don't want to hear any of their perspective of what they think Patrice would say about 2020. Because I don't think they listened to the things that he had to say, period. I don't think they really paid attention to the things. I think they pick and choose things that they want to know. But I don't think that even a guy like Bill Burr, who was close to him, I'm like, were you really paying attention to a lot of the shit he was saying?
I was thinking of that bit. So I was on my way home Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday. And listening to Mr. P, and it's right there. What he would have thought, a lot of that stuff is in his set, is in his material. You can infer, you can think it's there. You know what I mean? Like the way that he thinks.
Well, but people interpret anything they want out of it.
Yeah, you can, but I mean, I think
like him going on Opie and Anthony somehow made it okay for
Black people to do it.
Well, no, for harder racism. You know, well, Patrice is okay with it. You know, he's not okay with it. He says all the time on stage, you know, I have white friends and their whiteness makes me sick. He says all the time on stage.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's not fucking around. He's telling you the truth.
He was an exceptional type. He didn't change who he was, and it worked for him. I mean, he never, you know what I mean? Like, I think so many people want to be Patrice, but they don't want to be Patrice.
Well, it's hard to be Patrice.
It's hard. It's because they want to be, because people
be yourself. That's what I would tell anybody. You need to learn how to be yourself.
Yeah.
Patrice knew how to be himself. He was coming to terms with being himself.
Yeah.
Which makes his death that much more tragic. Is tragic the word I'm looking for?
Yeah. Because he
was finally coming to terms with being himself instead of self-sabotaging.
Yeah.
Then he dies.
Mm-hmm.
The way, you know, he would just hang around with Anthony, giving Anthony the green light to be. Well, he wasn't giving Anthony the green light to be racist. He talked shit about him all the time.
He would talk shit up to Anthony, though. Yeah, he
talked shit about him all the time. But the fans take that as the green light to be racist.
Yeah.
But this guy's okay with him. Like, he's not okay with it.
Right.
This is a reciprocal relationship. There was a lot of times where Patrice would say, I remember once on O&A where he was talking about his house parties that he would have and invite people over. And he invited Norton over, and he didn't invite Opie. He had never invited Opie over. And Norton was like, "You've never been to one of his house parties?" And he was like, "No, he's never invited me." And Patrice was like, "I didn't think he would come." And he goes, "But I would never invite Anthony."
Yeah.
And Opie was like, "Well, I'd come." He was like, "Yeah, okay, well, you come to the next one." But I would never invite Anthony. He says, "Watch this. Anthony, you want to come to one of my parties?" "No." I said,
"Yeah.
Because you're a piece of shit who doesn't like being around black people, so I wouldn't invite you."
Yeah.
That's the inherentness of Patrice, and I don't think people get these. We get it.
Yeah.
But they don't get it.
You know, I think
it's like that thing we're talking about, the business aspect.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a business relationship. Past this,
yeah,
we have no relationship.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's complicated, and it's really not when it comes to those things. It's like, I look at some of the comics that I look up to, like Patrice and Burr and stuff like that. It's just like, you don't. And I feel like I have my community, my version of what that was, of mm-hmm. what ONA was with you, with Andy, mm-hmm. with like JL, mm-hmm. Rod and Karen. I have that, but that's my version of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be. I don't have to argue with racist people on sure. my podcast to do it. I can still form community in the way that I see fit, you know, mm-hmm. in the way that it enriches my life. You know, I don't think you need to go looking for that just because Patrice did it. I think some people have tried to do that. Well, Patrice did it, so I can do it. Mm-hmm. He kind of did it so you didn't have to fucking do it, if you think about it.
Right. If you look at it that way. You know, I've looked at so much footage of Patrice and listened to so many interviews of him and watched so much of his comedy that I'm like, that's another thing. I'm like, I don't need to. You're not going to show me anything I haven't already seen. So, or
I'm going to check. I'm going to check it out. And then judge it.
Good. It's just that the storytellers will bother me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just, that's the story. Who are the people from our community on it that are telling the story? They act like he had nothing to do with our community. That's another thing.
He did.
Like, yes, he did. yes, he did.
Black people came to see him. I mean,
and he never ran away from our community or didn't.
No.
Never didn't try to embrace the community or anything like that. That's not even close to being true.
But that, see,
that's he did on Def Jam. Remember that set he did on Def Jam? You're raping my time?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He was just himself.
Right.
And I'm not going to say like he was perfect or anything. I didn't know him, man. Did you ever meet him at all? Yeah. You did. Yeah. I went to see Elephant in the Room, and that was the only time that I saw him. That was like, I guess that had to be 2010, mm-hmm. fall of 2010, I want to say. And just enjoyed in his set, and it just kind of changed me. And it was just like, this is the guy. Because it's a thing like where it's like, oh, I'm going to be like Patrice. It was just like, be like yourself,
right?
And try to be that unfiltered version of you. Try to be the most complete version. And I think that's kind of what I'm going for when I get on stage, you know, like, and when I podcast and stuff like that. And he had a very boutique following, although people loved him, and he had enough of a following to get, you know,
to make a very good living.
But it was another rung that he had yet.
Right.
Didn't get to.
Right. Well, Chris Rock said it best on ONA one time. He's like,
you're funnier than everybody. You're
funnier than everybody. Ain't that you ain't funny.
Yeah.
That's not that, you know. He said the first thing anybody says about Patrice, well, you know, he's funny. That's the first thing people say, you know. Mm-hmm. And it ain't that. I remember hosting. He came in, and he was just going to do a set, and he did 40 minutes. He was going to do like a 10-minute set. He did 40 minutes.
Where at? Bar Broadway?
And it was 40 really good minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they just let him go. And it was just mm-hmm. him just – there was people in the audience, because Broadway would always get these foreign people.
Yeah, tourists and shit.
Yeah. You
know, particularly British and Australians, because okay. their dollar is so strong. They're constantly coming over here. And he just had conversations, sat down on a stool and had conversations with these people because he did so much work in Britain.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just really just so sharp. Mm-hmm. And it was to hear white comics hate on him.
Oh, they were hating?
Oh, yeah. On the scene. It was always white comics. White, and believe me, comics we know.
hating on him. Oh, we'll talk about that off mic.
They're hating on him on the scene. You know.
And then now that he's dead.
The comic who did the screed about Chappelle.
The comic who did what about Chappelle?
The screed, the anti Chappelle podcast, the first one.
Yeah.
Didn't like him. Just the way he does it. Like, okay, man.
All right.
And that was back then, and there was a lot of white comics who didn't fuck with Patrice.
Yeah.
You know, because he wasn't a guy who was going to play their game, man.
Mm-hmm.
I fucked him a lot, but again, he had this self-sabotage thing, but he wasn't a guy who was going to play along.
Right.
He was like, man, fuck you. You know.
Yeah.
Godfrey has a little bit of that in him. Not as much as Patrice. There was a YouTube video floating around from one of Patrice's parties where they're sitting outside Patrice's place in Jersey in the middle of the day, and they're just having a conversation, and he is, I don't want to say he's berating Godfrey, but he was telling Godfrey, you need to quit chasing after their love.
Mm.
And it was Patrice and Keith Robinson.
I remember that. Was Kevin Hart in that one? In that video?
I don't know if Kevin was.
But they were outside. They were outside, right? Sitting outside. Yeah,
they were sitting outside of his place in Jersey.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Patrice, Keith.
Yeah, Keith Robinson.
Harris was mm-hmm. there. And one of the other brothers from Philly was there too. Mm-hmm. And he was admonishing Godfrey. Basically on some, you're fucking funny, man, but you got to stop chasing their approval.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And if you look at Godfrey now, it kind of looks like he took Patrice's advice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing, man. I think everybody goes through that, like chasing approval, chasing the approval of the white gaze. And I think it's like we were talking about this a week or two ago, where it's like the more that you become yourself,
right,
and you know yourself more, the less of that you'll do. And you will, to some degree, get more respect from people in general, you know.
A door unlocks for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You become, I don't know if more confident is the right word.
I think that's part of it. Confidence is a part of it.
But you definitely become, I guess assured goes along with confidence. You definitely become more assured in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say you still don't have imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
But you become more assured in yourself. Like, I'm doing the right thing. You know?
Yeah.
We were talking about that in a phone call last night about, do I really want to work with people like this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who would tell me don't say this or don't say that, not on stage.
Yeah.
But off stage in my private life. Well, if you talk like that, people may not come and see you. You might upset me. I don't want to work with you. The stand-up is the place where you're the most freest. Just don't say this, don't say this, don't say this, don't do that.
Right.
Fuck out of here, man.
Yeah. It's hard.
Thinking about that just last week. I think I'm done at the improv anyway.
Oh, you do?
Well, I wrote a thing about them not saying Black Lives Matter.
Shit, man, the improv might be done. Like the pit just closed.
They're not going anywhere. Improv's not going anywhere.
You don't think so?
No. If anything, they would get some of that stimulus dollars. They would be one of the places that would get some of that stimulus. The Draft House didn't. They would be one of the places to get some of that stimulus dollars.
Is the Draft House still going to be around or no? What do you?
I mean, they're struggling right now in Arlington. The DC, they're done.
DC's done. Yeah.
You know.
Well, I hope the Draft House can stay.
It's a movie theater, man. Ain't nobody trying to go into movie theaters. It's big enough that it's one of the few venues, and I don't really feel comfortable doing shows in venues. I did one, and I wasn't comfortable the whole time. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the few, just because of the way it's built.
Yeah.
It's fucking huge. You know, so that's like a lot of air volume and stuff like that. But the improv in DC?
Oh, you're in the basement. That's how comedy's supposed to be done down there.
Basement. The ceiling is low. That air volume is tight as fuck in there, man.
Yeah.
No, man.
Yeah. It's not a good place. Nah, son.
Yeah. The last lounge room they got? Nah, son.
Yeah.
With the door closed and that room was just circulating for a couple of hours. No.
Everything that's right about comedy, the DC Improv has. And everything that's right about COVID that DC Improv has.
Everything that makes COVID fucking rub its hands together like Birdman. like Birdman.
Or like one of those fat guys about to eat a pizza on a YouTube video.
Right.
Like, oh, shit. Yeah. On a lighter note, I got to ask you, have you ever tried, I may try this tonight, I'm kind of scared. Have you ever tried cooking frozen French fries in a skillet or?
Absolutely. You've never done that?
No, I've never done it.
Oh my God. What kind of childhood did you have?
I would just put them in the oven or. The oven?
Your parents didn't cook French fries in a skillet?
You know, I think I got to ask my dad about that. He might have.
You have an iron skillet?
I do. I've been had one of them.
You got to put about that much oil in it.
See, I wonder, do I have enough oil?
That's the thing. So you go get some oil first. And you
put I don't want to go to the store.
You want it to be a lab. And you want it to be a layer of, you want the fries to be submerged in the oil.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of keep an eye on them and you cook them until you'll see the color changing.
Yeah.
Or you cook them until they stop kind of fizzing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Did you ever work in fast food?
No.
Okay. Then you don't know about that either. Yeah. When they're cooking, they do that, and then as they cook, that starts to kind of come down and down and down and down and down.
I've done handmade before that I've cut up and, you know, I've done that, but never the frozen. I may try it. Well, I just
when you put it in the heat, put it in the grease.
Say what you just said again.
Be careful when you're putting the fries in.
In the grease, because it'll
very careful. Yeah.
I just don't want, cause it's, I think it might be still snowing outside.
Yeah.
I don't feel like going out.
I just did some a couple of weeks ago, I think. Not even a week ago, like last week. I did. Oh, I know what it was. The day I did the fried chicken? Cause I did fried chicken on my stove in the skillet. And then I think I did French fries in the same grease.
Okay. I tried doing that and it just didn't, whatever happened, it didn't end up right, but I may try it because.
You probably didn't put enough grease in.
Probably not.
They gotta be able to be in the grease.
Be submerged in there.
Yeah, they gotta be in the grease. So you gotta put enough grease in it that you can get a layer of fries in that grease.
Yeah.
You know, they can't be, the top is sticking out of the, that won't work. Because you can't flip them like you flip a piece of chicken.
Yeah.
They're just in that grease cooking, you know.
That's true. Now I'm scared.
You need something to be able to get them out.
I have tongs.
Slotted spoons, something along those lines. And then you just salt them while they're still greasy?
Yeah.
What?
I need to try that. I need to figure something out because I just don't want to go. I haven't been outside since Wednesday.
I can't believe you didn't grow up eating, bruh. We ate French fries, frozen French fries, like fuck, man, like three, four times a week.
We burnt
these two fingers fucking bad on grease in the all right here. I still have the scars. All right here. Down into here and here, because I was holding the pan like that, and the grease washed over my fingers.
Shit!
All this shit was burned.
Oh man, we would just my dad would fry potatoes. He'd cut them up and fry them.
Same shit.
We do that, but not like French fries.
Same shit. Was it in the skillet?
Yeah.
Same shit.
Yeah.
But just call them wedges instead of French fries.
Now they have the New Wave, which is an air fryer. They've had that way before you guys got on.
Well, I've been air frying fries. And I put them in the oven, but it's not the same as deep frying them. The thing about deep fries is it's just fucking messy.
Yeah.
Unless you got a good deep fryer.
It's kind of like a lot of work to like even do chicken in a skillet. It's like,
it's a lot of fucking work.
It's like, I'll just go to Popeyes.
It's a lot of fucking work. I did it on a Sunday. So it's fun to do on a Sunday. I was in the kitchen. I got music on.
Yeah.
I got fucking shit going. I don't like my wife always tries to come. You know how she does.
Yeah.
you especially know how she does. She tries to come buzzing
get
around
the,
like
get in the way.
What are you doing? what are you going away? What are you doing?
ever since I got my earbuds, my wireless earbuds, I've been loving like cooking because I can listen to a podcast or I can listen to music and cook. Right. You know,
that's what I do.
It's been
in
pretty
my kitchen
good.
By myself.
Yeah.
You know, the kitchen's fine. I'm just in there cooking and I clean as I go.
Yeah, I do that too.
I clean a pot, you know, I'm in there, I'm listening to a podcast, cooking. I'm usually having a drink at the same time, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of relaxing, tell you the truth.
It is. I may do that later on tonight. I may make myself some of those fries and have a burger and watch Nomadland. The Francis McDormand movie.
Okay. I just saw a commercial for this Netflix German series called Europa, about Europe breaks down, dystopian future. Europe breaks down into civilizations, and some three kids trying to make their way through it.
Right now I'm watching, I watched WandaVision when I woke up this morning. So
I'll watch it later when I can't while she's.
Yeah, yeah. Will she be trying to watch?
No, I just can't have the big television on.
Yeah.
Too much. It's too noisy.
Yeah.
There, but just there's a class because she's up in the loft. So.
Oh, okay.
I don't. I stay out of the living room while she's in school unless she has a question or something.
It's good. It's good. I think that's the best show on TV right now.
Yeah, it's I'm sure this, good. It's. I wanted to put a GIF up of, you know, the one where the brother's laughing and getting into the car.
Yeah.
I was like, I wanted to put that GIF up and say, this was when people were complaining about the first two WandaVisions. It's like, and then they showed that third one.
Yeah.
Like, this is the people at Marvel after that third WandaVision came out laughing at these. Yeah.
I didn't think they were weird though. I was didn't into so either.
I was like, this, yeah, whatever's happening, I like what's happening. That's what I thought. What is going on here? I like it. So,
and I'm not like a big, like, I'll ask maybe you or Rod, or I'll go to YouTube and look at like, oh, what is this? What's this based on, or something like that? And I would just be, I
can't believe people are still doubting Marvel like that. Like, people are like, this is going to sound like, are you? Do you not look at their fucking resume? What do you look at the resume? Look at the track record. Why are you doubting them now?
I mean, Elizabeth Olsen is not bad to look at.
At all.
At all.
I was talking to about her, one of my clients. I was like, you look at her and you look at her sister. She's like, what happened? What happened?
Elizabeth likes to eat.
like she Elizabeth, was really good in the movie Wind River. I really liked that movie.
She was good in that. And I keep telling everybody, Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. 2000.
Yeah, you found that. I didn't really want to. Didn't.
2000.
It seemed like a little too much for me, for my delicate sensibilities.
Yeah, pretty too. You're kind of soft, but
yeah. Watch her get pulled into some weird shit.
Wind River's much worse, is it?
It is worse, but I like that fucking. I like that line where he says, "I'm when she says, he goes, "I'm going to get him." Yeah, go get him. I'm not bringing him back. Oh, I know. I'm not bringing him back.
I got to see that one again. I don't know. I don't think that's in my collection, but
it's really good. And I had become friends with this native cat at the gym.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we talked about life on the reservation in juxtaposed with life in the hood and stuff like that. You know, so we had some, and it was that movie that started us talking.
Yeah. It's a great movie. Taylor Sheridan.
It's like, oh yeah, I did see that. You know, we start talking about Life on a Reservation versus Life in the Hood and blah 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 stuff, shit like that.
Yeah, he also did. What was that other movie he did that was really good with? Oh God,
Jeremy Renner was really good. Now I guess they've canceled him, but boy, he was. He's good in a lot of movies he's been in. He's been really good.
He's a very good actor. Yeah,
except for that Bourne shit, but that wasn't his fault.
No, they shouldn't have done it without
that. Was a bad idea. It was a bad idea.
He did Sicario. He wrote Sicario.
The second one stank.
No, it wasn't that good. It was okay. It wasn't as good as the first one, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I don't think it was bad.
Yeah.
And he wrote and directed Wind River, but Hell or High Water was very good.
That movie.
That shit.
Is so good.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a fantastic movie.
Who was the
Jeff Bridges.
Not Jeff Bridges,
Chris Pine.
Nah, but the other dude.
Ben Foster.
That guy.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Yeah, that guy. You know. Chris Pine got down too. He showed a side of himself. I was like, I don't know, you could bring this that kind of rage out when that dude had a gun on his brother.
Mm-hmm.
He beat the shit out of that dude in the parking lot. I was like, I didn't know Chris Pine could had it like that.
Yeah, he's Ben Foster's married to Laura Prepon.
Or that scene where, oh really? Or that scene he did with Bridges at the end, where they were talking. That it was just like a loaded scene between the two of them. Like I'll be waiting for you.
Oh, yeah. At the end, yeah.
The loaded scene, you know. I'll be waiting.
Laura Prepon directed the episode of
You like her, yeah.
Orange is the New Black that I was on.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Is that her role now? She's gonna go into directing?
I mean, I guess she just directed an episode because she was a cast member or what, you know, sometimes and maybe she is dabbling into it now.
Right.
But she was good. She was like, yeah, she was giving me like good notes. You know, I had like a small part, but she was like real nice to me. She was like, yeah, I really like that look that you gave. I was like, oh my God, Laura.
That red hair got you, man.
Oh yeah. Did she have red hair at the time? She
did in that 70s show.
I don't know. She definitely did in that 70s show. But yeah, she's
no ass.
Oh my God. She was great. She was really cool. So what else? What else was like? Have you been cooking anything new on the air fryer? You're actually into the skillet game now.
Both, man. Listen, so people think I forgot. I don't post. I use my air fryer every day.
Oh, okay. You use it.
It's
every
not
day.
A day. It's very rare a day goes by that I don't use my air fryer. Like I make bacon in it all every morning.
Okay.
It's far superior to bacon cooked in the oven or on the skillet.
You think bacon is in the air fryer is better than the skillet?
It is.
Wow.
Life changing. The way you appreciate bacon will completely change.
I don't swine it up too much as I'd like, but
also get your bacon from a butcher shop.
And not like Smithfield.
Nope. Get it from a butcher shop. Like I go over to Fresh Market, higher end fucking Whole Foods. So I don't go in there much other than to go to their butcher market because they got good cuts of meat and stuff to put in the air fryer.
Yeah.
So I'll get a pound of bacon. That's $9 for a pound of bacon.
Yeah.
It's usually the, they call it cured bacon. So it has applewood cured bacon.
Okay.
Very thick cuts. But what? I just had a bacon sandwich before this.
Nice.
Bacon sandwich before this. And put on some bread with some shredded cheese. What? What?
I just had some.
Or I put in my omelets. So if I want to stretch out, I'll cook the bacon first. Then I'll put the omelet. I'll cut the bacon, break the bacon into pieces, put it all over the egg, put some cut up onion on it, and then flip it. Oh, and my cheese. Always my cheese.
Do you make your omelet in a pan, though, don't you?
Yeah, in a pan, yeah. I think you can do it in an air fryer, but I ain't fucking with it.
I'm not either. Keith, speaking of Keith. Keith gave me, I put my omelet fails on my Patreon.
Yeah.
And Keith told me what kind of frying pan to get.
Oh, it's a folding omelet?
Yeah.
I just use a good no stick skillet and a spatula.
Yeah, my skillet's fucked up, so it's like it's very sometimey.
Hey, you need a new. You go buy a new no stick, man.
Well, I just got. I ordered one from Amazon.
Yeah.
Then and Keith told me what kind to get, so it's not coming.
You using steel silverware in your no stick?
No,
because that's how you fuck it up.
No, I'm using plastic.
Yeah, that's how you fuck it up. You know,
yes, I'm gonna work on that at some point. I just don't want to go now. I'm thinking about that cooking oil and I don't want to go outside.
Yeah, you need a bottle of it. If you're gonna do fries, you need a bottle of cooking oil, and then you're stuck with this grease. Like in the day, we used to save the chicken grease.
Yeah,
we save the chicken grease and we save fish grease.
Yeah,
which was
my mom used to do that too. Yeah,
fuck up and cook some in that fish grease. Ugh.
Oh no, yeah. Ugh.
Cooking was so labor intensive
back then.
Yeah,
it's not that bad now.
No, but God, it was labor intensive. You had to cut the chicken up.
Yeah,
you know, I never got good at it cutting up a
Neither
chicken.
Did I.
Mom can cut up a chicken in like 3 minutes. I remember what was that comic? He passed away. Is Larry Rome? I think it was Rome. He said he was in a club and a woman walked up to him. I can cut up a whole fried chicken, and just backed away looking at him. he was like, she had me right then and there. I can cut up a whole fried chicken, and then just backed away looking at him.
Dropped it on him.
She had me right there because he was a big dude. He was a big dude. He said, what do you say? Yeah, I'm fat. So just buy a Lexus. It was Lexus at the time. She said, just buy a Lexus.
Oh, that's what he said, because he's fat. Yeah. Just get a Lexus.
Buy a Lexus.
And girls will like you. That's funny.
Yeah, he was funny. He was funny. I feel like I worked with him at Midtown. We were talking about that spot the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit, man.
He was funny. He was a good dude. I think he passed away. I think diabetes got him.
Who was the guy that had the church's chicken joke that I always make you tell?
Derek Ellis.
Okay.
Yeah, Derek Ellis, about how big the pieces of chicken.
Yeah. The chicken would be big.
Chicken be big? Just the way he said it.
Somebody showed a picture of, what is it, the Texas and Arkansas state line with the snow? Is that right?
I don't know. Is it not Arkansas?
Like how you should know, you live there. The state line, how there was snow on the Texas side. It was either Arkansas or Oklahoma.
It snows up there though. It snows, that's further up in the panhandle. It snows up there every year.
It was one of those neighboring states, how like it was all this crazy snow on the Texas side of the border. And the other side had the snow. They cleared the snow off.
They're on a different power grid.
That's the whole thing.
That Texas itself is on this power grid and everybody else is not. So that's why they're fucked.
Yeah.
Their power grid. So that's why the streets are all clear. And so any of the surrounding states, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Arkansas, any of those surrounding states, they're gonna be fine. You know, the reason why El Paso is good, where Beto lives, is because they're on New Mexico's power grid.
Mm.
My brother Mark works because he works for the EPA there in Texas. So he deals with these people.
What's the
EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency.
Okay, gotcha.
Mark works for the state.
Yeah.
You know, and he deals with these people. And he's like, they are fucking idiots. They're fucking idiots. They're into that thing of no government assistance. That we can make it on our own. So when the power grid was starting to fuck up, it's like the fourth time this has happened. When the power grid started to fuck up, the federal government couldn't mandate that they do anything. They could only make suggestions. They're like, this is what we think you should do to your power grid to make sure it doesn't happen again. And the people in Texas are like, yeah, fuck that. We don't need to do that. Well, here they are. I remember after Katrina happened, and all the people went from New Orleans to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
People used to shit on them. you know, because they moved to Houston and blah, blah, blah. And they're sucking up our resources and they're just here and they don't work. They're lazy. They're getting money. I'm like, they lost everything. You get that, right?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking then, I was like, y'all shouldn't be talking shit because shit's going to happen to you. Speaking of karma, shit's going to happen to you. It's going to happen. And sure enough, they started having, you know, flooding, hurricanes. Now this, I'm like, see, mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, I mean, that, I like where we went with that, but I was just going to say on the side of the state, the border that wasn't Texas, there was a Church's Chicken on the side of that, of the plowed highway. And I was like, ah, Church's. We don't have them anymore.
It is greasy ass chicken. Somebody said, who said that the Church's in D.C. went up in flames? I was like, of course it did. Greasy as that motherfucker was. Grease is everywhere in churches.
We used to have okra. They used to have okra at the one
okra,
there.
Fried okra. Yeah, I don't fuck with okra. But
I don't think I've ever had it.
It's, you got to cook anything. You got to cook the slime off of.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I'm not eating it.
Are you gonna try that fish sandwich from? I don't eat fish. You don't like fish?
No, I don't eat fish.
So. Oh shit, man, that's right.
My family does. I don't.
Yeah.
You know what? Mark doesn't eat fish. My mom and dad do. Mark doesn't eat fish.
My parents.
They go catch their own fish, by the way. So
my parents were talking about that yesterday. Like when you go get fish, go fishing. It was people that would just clean it and sell it.
Yeah.
Right at the lake or wherever.
Yeah.
Best fish I ever had. I'd go to
Corpus Christi fish and bring that shit back home.
Yeah. Best fish I had in a long time was at in North Carolina, 2019, going to my uncle's funeral. My mom, dad, and her brother, my other uncle, ate there. And I'm not a fish guy. Like I like salmon and all that, but man, it was you talk about good.
Yes, I don't. I like the idea
of it.
Fried fish sandwich. I like the idea of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's a spot in D.C. that they serve fish plates. It's like a piece of bread. You lay them down on the bottom of the plate. You put the fish on top of that. It's
right.
Like fried fish strips.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to do hot sauce, put your hot sauce on top of that. And you just eat shit like that. I like the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like the taste of fish. It all tastes the same to me.
That's that Friday shit.
Yeah. I just don't like, fish. Yeah. I used to, cause Texas is a lot of Catholics. They used to do that at school. Friday's fish day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not eat a school lunch today.
Get that
square piece of pizza. Every school.
Yeah. I like the, I was more of a, we used to eat fillet of fish in grad school.
Yeah,
double fillet of fish. I'm a tuna fish guy.
I'll eat tuna fish.
I love
not that. A lot. When I was boxing, I ate it a lot.
Yeah,
wait, but I don't. But to eat like a hey, let's have some trout. Let's have some perch. Let's have some salmon.
Well, when I hung out with D.L. Hughley that time, and I had sea bass, that was pretty amazing. It was good.
Yeah, I had crab salad once that was at Disney World in Epcot Center.
Yeah.
But I loaded it up with salt because my dad was like, you better eat that shit.
Daddy, I don't want to eat. You better eat that shit.
You know, because we got some sort of coupons where we got to go to this nice restaurant and it was part of the got like an X course meal. And I was just like, eat that shit.
my dad, that happened to me. Well, I think I was an adult. I was at least in my early 20s, but I think my parents had gotten something from McCormick and Schmick's in Crystal City. I think it's in Crystal City.
We somewhere. Ate there one Christmas. Yes, it is in Crystal City. We
yeah.
ate there one Christmas with my in-laws.
Yeah, and it wasn't. I wasn't. I was like,
But I didn't eat the seafood.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't like. I'm not a seafood guy. Parents, my the thing parents.
About seafood places is that they always serve chicken.
They do. Yeah.
Always. So if you with a girl who likes seafood, like I've been to, I used to go to Red Lobster all the time. Get chicken strips and cheddar biscuits.
Yeah.
What does it need to? I think I talked about another podcast. Red Lobster was the first grown up date place to go to go to. Yeah, that was the first one. A lot of kids my age. That was our first grown up date place.
Mine. I mean, I didn't date in high school, so when I started taking girls out, it was TGI Fridays, Outback.
Y'all have Sizzler. You have Sizzler? Was Sizzler?
We did, but I never took. It was kind of sketchy.
Yeah, we had Sizzler.
I would take the girls to when Bowie was up and coming. This girl that I used to date, me and her would go up there. We wouldn't go to we wouldn't go anywhere in Peachy County. I'd take her to where Tim lives, used to live. I think where Tim used to live was nice, but like that, what's the AMC down there? When it first
AMC over by Old Town.
Yeah, the old, like, I would take
right off Eisenhower.
Yeah, when it first opened, I would.
Now it's a lot of shit over there now.
Yeah, it's not bad, but it's just more. I would just say it's more congested.
Yeah, yeah, it's tight up in there.
Yeah, but I would take girls there.
That's a little bit of a drive for you. Would you come up 495?
Not really. No, it's like 15, 20 minutes. Okay. It's not bad. Like, plus yeah, she
495 and take that exit right there and just swing down to AMC. AMC is fucking huge.
Yeah.
I've missed going to the movies. That's fucking about get this fucking vaccine so I can go to the movies again.
Yeah. I want to do stand up again. Like I told you yesterday.
It's weird how the things that I want to do have changed. I used to be, can we get on stage? Now it's like, I just want to go see the movie again.
Oh yeah, I love it, man. Dude, like on a day like this, on a Friday,
yeah,
you know, barring the snow, or you know, I would be in the theater, like I get off work, go to the movie theater, and then go do a show. And it's like, oh, I just came from such and such. And yeah, was it good? Yeah, it was all right, you know.
Yeah, waiting on these vaccines.
Yeah, they're getting them. They're rolling them out slowly now.
It's steady though.
They're getting them out there, but I'm on a vaccine update list on Twitter where they have you can get appointments. It's going to be just as hard to get a PlayStation or a pair of sneakers. Same shit.
Shit. With PlayStation and a pair of sneakers, I mean, I guess, well, not so much with sneakers, but you don't have white people jumping in ahead of you with sneakers.
It's everybody. Yeah. White people like this shit more than we do.
Unless they're trying to flip them.
That's what mainly people are trying to do. They want to flip the PlayStations and they want to flip the sneakers.
I'm sure there are people actually are doing it.
I was trying to get the new Ken Griffey, the Ken Griffey's re-release, and yeah, that was hard. It was hard. I was like, I don't need these fucking things.
Yeah,
they would be show shoes.
Absolutely, but where are you wearing now?
Yeah, they would be show shoes. Like all the sneakers that I would get from there, like it would be when you do a weekend somewhere.
Right. I drive by DSW, man. I'm like, I went in it because I needed some running shoes. I'm running so much.
They be having good shit in there.
Yeah, so I went in there. But other than that, I was like, let me go look at the boots. I was like, there's no sense. Well, I'm going to buy some boots and do what with them?
I got it. You look at them in the box.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere to wear these boots. So what am I doing with them? You know?
Because I would even think, even when before the pandemic, I would get some sneakers. And be like, oh, shit. And you open them and you look at them for like 5 minutes and then you just – Put them up.
You know, that's how I am with. For me, it's ankle boots for some weird reason. I need another pair of boots. You know.
Yeah, I just
somebody just come in your house. Somebody just come in your house.
No, I just got too many. I'm trying to
look over there and see. I'm like, what's going on over there?
I was looking at my box of sneakers that I have.
All my sneakers are functional, you know.
I have those. I have the function.
Running in them, or I had some cheap ones that I used to wear when I was in the gym all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like these are my work sneakers to wear.
Yeah.
Where I got to demonstrate stuff and like that. And then these are my workout sneakers. These are my running sneakers, you know. And then once I wear out a pair of running sneakers, they become walking around sneakers.
Not buying yeah. But if you're going to get some boots, get some Red Wings.
I don't like the way Red Wings look.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, they're not for me.
Oh my God.
They're good boots. They're good boots, but I don't like the way they look. But they're good boots. But I don't like the way they look. But they're good boots. don't dispute that Red Wings are good boots.
They're good.
I grew up with good people who wore Red Wings. It's not
great boots.
I grew up with people who wore Red Wings. They're not for me, man. I'm like
so comfortable.
They get me thinking of white guys working on farms.
Oh well, it's okay. The boots are triggering for you.
No, I just they're not. I don't like that. They don't go with the shit I wear.
Not even just for like snow shit, or you're just trying to look fly. No, with
snowshoot. I just like, when it comes to snow shit, I wear boots I could give a fuck about. You know what I mean?
Okay, well,
and I just weather treat them, and then I don't give a fuck about them.
I don't worry about boots like that.
Like my snow boots, my snowshoes that I wear are shoes I bought at Payless, waterproof Payless boot. That's how long I've had these fucking snow boots.
Okay, well,
Payless, and I just weather treat them, and that's that. Because I don't really.
Oh, are you talking about boots for like when you do stand up and shit, or just like
I wear ankle boots a lot.
Oh well, that's different.
Zipper on the side, or you know, I wear boots like that a lot.
I'm talking about boots and snow because, like, I wear these Red Wings when it's snow. Boots like, when snow, I go,
I wear Timberland knockoffs.
Okay.
About like that. I wear a lot of Timberland knockoffs. I've never owned a pair of Timberlands. I should buy a pair.
You should buy a pair. They're good.
I looked for a pair for Christmas. They were all sold out. You couldn't find Timberlands
I'm sure you can find them now. And you're in the Maryland, D.C. area. I'm sure.
That's what I thought. I was like, well, how come I can't find any any Timbs?
Yeah.
I was going to buy us all matching Timbs for Christmas. Couldn't find them.
Oh, okay. No. Maybe for good reason then, if you're going to do all. No, but like, yeah, I would say when I was in my 20s, I'd had a few pair. I mean, growing up in the Northeast, you have to have some Tims.
Yeah, yeah. Or you have to have something that's like a Tim.
Yeah, yeah.
But the problem with the Tims is that I spend so much money on them, I'm going to start to get mad when they get dirty. Like,
yeah.
I don't give a fuck about them. I'm like, yeah, dirty gives a shit.
Those are like you wear them when you go out. But these Red Wings that I have is just for durability. It's like if I'm going to clean snow off my car, I'm going out where there's snow and ice.
And that's when I wear those
pants. Yeah, that's what you do. Yeah. But like Tim's would be just like, oh, I'm doing a show. I haven't had a pair of those in ages.
Yeah, because I don't give a fuck about these shoes.
Yeah.
You know, so if I'm cleaning snow and I'm focusing on it, I don't care. You know?
Yeah, but the other stuff, like dress boots and stuff, yeah. DSW. Yeah, but
I'm looking right now. Just off the top of my head, I can see four different pairs of dress boots. Just looking right there. There's four.
Let's see. This is the last pair of sneakers I bought. How do you even open them? I didn't even know how you fucking open them.
You ain't even opened them yet?
I have, but it's been a minute. It opens from the side. These are like,
Oh, what are those? Are those Cortez?
No, they're, what are these? Nike Daybreak.
Daybreak.
Just like a nice, comfortable shoe.
Yeah. That was like, look like they're kind of in the style of the original Nike.
Yeah. They were like, they were $50 and I had a gift card and I got them for free. So it's basically technically, they're good. And I had some, and I actually have some Jordans too. But I have some cool sneakers. I had a pair of some Jordan 4s that I want to wear when I tape my album, whenever the fuck that'll be in 2028.
I don't know, man. I was preparing a preparing to do something, and then this happened. So,
yeah, yeah.
And all that material now, I'm like, I wouldn't even think about doing any of this material.
You don't think so?
No, I'm like, I think it was Roy Wood who was talking about that. You got to come up with all new shit now.
There's some stories I want to tell.
What's happening in the world? You got to come up with new shit.
Oh, of course, of course. Yeah, like I, but there's still some stories that I want to get on wax. Mm-hmm. Fuck that shit. Mm-hmm. There's like some family stuff I want to do. But yeah, you can always, some shit is evergreen, man.
Yeah.
But you can't be talking about.
Like, I haven't really written any pandemic. But that's everybody was focused. I had to write these pandemic jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Slow down.
You don't have to.
Yeah. You don't have to. You write as it comes to you.
Yeah.
But you don't have to.
You see what, because some people are putting stuff out. Like some people did tape specials during the pandemic. I think there's a couple of.
You mean like Dave Chappelle?
No. The comic buddy, Dave Hellum, who's a TV writer. Him and Erica Rhodes, I think at least the two of them did.
Was it funnier than Dave Chappelle's?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
No jokes, man.
But they did a special in front of like at a drive-ins. So I'm interested in seeing how that turns out to check out. But yeah. Hopefully we get back to the shit. But I definitely have stories that I want to have on the whatever it is that I do. Right. And then stuff that's current. But you can't tell me. Yeah, because like there's medical stuff, there's doctor stuff you can talk about. There's like you can talk about, but I think that Roy Wood thing was meant for like if you want some of that bullshit, you kind of gotta. He's basically saying like
Gabe Pacheco saying the same thing on your pod.
Gabe, I think so. Yeah, just you like gotta
put out new stuff.
You got to come out with some new shit, something good, and just be more.
Yeah, but you don't have any place to work it out. That's
right.
So
yeah, I'm not going to be like out of the gate. I'm doing a special. I'm doing an album, but I definitely want to work stuff out. But that's the fun part.
All the spot where people go to work out, all that shit is going to be done for more than a while. Though New York is motherfuckers are crazy. They're like, we're gonna do this. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, they don't fucking know. I don't know, man. I think it'll come back when it comes back, hopefully within the next.
What the fuck is it doing shows now like it like years. It never left?
Yeah, they are doing that. So that leads me to believe that once people get the vaccine, once more people get the vaccine, they'll be
doing the show and the motherfuckers going to the show. I'm like, y'all don't they're not one of y'all give a fuck. Just God.
Yeah. I'm low key chomping at the bit, but my shit can wait though. You know what I mean?
I look at it.
It can wait. Like I'm excited to say to tell the jokes that I want to tell, but at the same time, I can, you know, I can wait. Mm-hmm. Wait it out. Hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, I look at it.
Well, look, man, I think this has been good. I think we've been golden.
It's been good.
We've done some good podcasts.
Liquor store, Dick's, and
Dick's Sporting Goods and the liquor store. The
liquor store. I gotta go to Dick's. I gotta go. It's the cleaners and Popeyes.
I did that Monday. Oh my God. Are you using the app?
No, I just go to the drive thru.
You should use the app to get to at least get coupons.
Okay. I have the app. I just,
yeah.
Because Popeyes right by my house, and then just go through.
You can give them. You can
mask up too, which I like.
Yeah, you can give them a code. Like even in the drive-thru, I think if you see a coupon that you like,
yeah,
you could just say, "I have the coupon code for three pieces of chicken and a biscuit." You know, that's save you some cash there, buddy.
Yeah, man.
I don't know if I should venture. I should probably venture out and get some cooking oil. I just don't want to go to the grocery store. You know what I mean?
Staying out of grocery stores. Yeah, stuff. Yeah.
I'm not scared. It's just like the tedium.
You're scared. I say you're staying out.
Staying out of the grocery stores?
Yeah.
I just don't like going and spending too much money.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all. Like, I don't, because you see something like, oh, and then if you go when you're a little hungry, you're like, I'm going to get this shit. And you're like, that'll be $80. And you're like, what? Like, God damn. So I should probably, I maybe clean off my car or something. And
here's a coupon right here. Two can dine on delivery for $12. That's pretty
that's
good.
That's not bad, but you can just go pick that up.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, they got the pickup. I guess but the thing about pickup is you got to go in. I don't want to go in. I don't want to get out of the car.
Well, I think in the drive-through, I think you can just give, because I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at offers. If you go.
Yeah, where's the Cajun flounder?
This is a really black podcast.
Yeah, it just got real black, didn't it?
Start talking about chicken and
I'm thinking about this. I gotta get some for WandaVision.
Yeah, it's 37 minutes this week. I think they're getting longer with the
when I come back from being out and sit down with WandaVision.
Yeah, that's why I want to get me a snack, something to eat for 2-piece signature combo, $7. That is nothing. So you can say add to mobile order or redeem in restaurant. And if you press redeem in restaurant, they give you a code. This coupon will expire in 50. Oh, they're supposed to.
Well, I'm looking at the orders now. So you got your first order thing. I've been done ordering. Delivery special. 5-piece chicken, 2 regular sides, and 2 biscuits for $12.
That's good.
3 tenders combo for $6.
But I think if you, shit, I don't know how you.
But I don't want to go in and get that. I don't want to pick this shit up.
I think if you just do order, how the fuck does this work?
Drive through.
There's a way to do it with a code.
Right.
And
here's it says use code to redeem.
Yeah, but that's a. What is it?
That's a T-Mobile Tuesdays. Free chicken sandwich with $5 purchase.
Delivery special.
Got to set up an account and log in to redeem it.
And to mobile. I don't know. They're doing some shit different. But I the last two times that I did it, I went in there and I just used I said, I have a 2 can dine thing and I have a, I could, you just give them the code and they'll punch in the code and you should be good. Because this shit is expensive and you can save. I don't know. Well, so much for that. Well, let's wrap this up, man. Randolph, plug some stuff. Where can people find you? I think if they listen to this, they should know, but just anyway, do it anyway.
3 Guys on Podcast. You can check that out. Chris refuses to be a part of the show now.
Dude, I logged on twice. Stop doing. You did this to me. Brandon did. You come. You never. I literally have you on the fucking show, and then you say you never.
I will be part of Drunk Black History. The next Drunk Black History.
There you go. I believe
is next Friday. Brandon asked me to host.
I thought it was Saturday.
I think it's Friday.
Oh, it's
okay. Next Friday. Next week, Friday. He asked me to come in and do a little bit up top.
Okay.
Black history professorally. So I'm going to try to,
all right.
Know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something with it. And, that's about to get at me on, Twitter, Real Talk For You on Twitter, all words spelled out, Real Talk For You, Instagram, Randolph Terrence, Facebook, Randolph Terrence, you know, I may or may not add you if you Facebook friend me, gotcha. I don't know.
Drunk Black History is Friday, February 26th at 9 p.m.
It's next Friday. And I am going to open that.
Nice. That'll be fun. Don't get too trashed before.
I'm not doing a thing, so there's no reason for me to. I'm going to drink a little bit, obviously, but there's no reason for me to go down like a. Brent, like a Gordon.
Yeah. The last one we did, they're like Gordon's dead. Like, I think Gordon's dead.
Well, he's home. He ain't got nowhere to go, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really turn up, you know.
No, I drank too much when I did it. Yeah. I was a little too. I was excited and buzzed and fucking playing The Last of Us. So.
Yeah. So I'm gonna do all that. Right.
Well, that's great, man. Well, we will wrap it up. Randolph, thank you so much for doing this. And I will, I will join your pod soon.
I will. We'll keep an eye out for you.
I will. I logged on a couple times and you guys didn't see me. So I just logged off. So I'll listen on Monday.
Like incognito or some shit like that.
All right. Take it easy, everybody.